Hello, everybody. Welcome to hopefully what will be the first actual episode of Spring Hill Public Radio. We have had many setbacks and difficulties in terms of actually getting episodes out, but my name is Ford, and...
Why are you pointing at me?
And...
Please get that out of my face.
All right, so...
I'm Chase.
I'm Kira.
All right, we have several topics to talk about, first of which is going to be our... local to Spring Hill topic. Housing just got finished up, and several people are quite upset about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know, this was a weird setup of, like, you go in and pick your room. It's really weird. It being also the fact that I had to get a proxy, like, I wasn't even there.
Yeah. This was how they did it last year, but last year it was kind of
jury-rigged. They didn't open, like, half of the... Not half new hall. Like, everything that's available should just be available.
It's rigged every year.
And then let everybody just pick. Not like, here's half of the apartments, or here's half of the dorm room.
Bush did housing selection.
He totally
it's
did.
It's whatever. I got a pretty cool pod. It's most of the rising sophomores from soccer. So.
What day was your, what was your selection time?
2:20 on Sunday.
Sunday?
Yeah. Anna was my proxy because we had soccer.
Yeah. So Chase and I had Friday selection time, which is lucky because that's the only reason that we actually were able to get an apartment. We got the third to last apartment.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was nice.
Well, that's that's gonna be cool. No,
I'm glad I have somewhere to live.
I need to find a new apartment to go crash at, you know, for parties and stuff.
Yeah, we're gonna
have couches.
We're gonna have a lot of seating. That's just, the primary
just
draw.
All couches. Just throw down like cushions.
Like
on
there's
the
gonna be no floor. It's gonna be all couch.
We've got like 9 or 10 couches so far.
I've always wanted a room that's like all like
bed.
That's like just like all cushion.
All
you
padding.
Know?
That's like, a, you know, one that's of those, a mental asylum.
Yeah, one of those rooms they put
that
the
wouldn't be bad
in.
Though.
Like, I want one.
Honestly,
for myself.
No, it wouldn't be. The only thing is that, like, straight jackets are uncomfortable.
I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure they could sell it separately. I want one of the padded rooms, but without the straitjacket, please.
Are you going to, like, go into a mental asylum and be like, where do you get these?
Yes, there's got to be a wholesaler somewhere.
Just where do you buy the padding? I don't know. But whatever. But no, housing sucks. It's a terrible process. Should keep it all online. Because, like, I filled out the online form, but that has nothing to do with selecting your place.
Yeah, so it actually
that's just
has,
saying,
yeah.
You know, yes, I need somewhere to live.
I intend on living on campus next semester.
Yeah, and the thing is, they didn't tell us that you also had to pick out a meal plan. So I get a phone call from Anna, and she's like, what meal plan do you need? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I didn't realize I was supposed to pick one out.
We were bombarded with decisions when we got there. We just thought we had to pick the apartment.
Yeah, no, I thought...
And
like,
then, but then next thing we know, they're like, you need to pick which room you're having in the apartment.
Oh,
and we're like... What? Like, I haven't put any thought to which of the four rooms in the apartment.
And then
I
they're
want.
Like, "Oh, by the way, what color do you want your walls to be?"
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna paint your walls. What color do you want them?
Wait,
like,
really?
What? Yeah,
yeah.
Dude, what? Like, you get to pick your color.
Whoa! Yeah. It's only one wall. They
no, no,
one
no. It's the one
the
in the main
wall.
In the main room. Yeah.
Yeah, the back wall and the.
Oh, see, I thought those were pre-assigned because I always like see like the different rooms that are like blue or green or that weird like red-ish color.
Yeah.
I thought those were just pre-assigned, not like you get to pick it.
Oh no, you pick it. Yeah.
So this is why Spring Hill's in debt.
We went with the
because of weird decisions like this.
The bluish gray, the grayish blue.
Oh, that's
in
cool.
like 30 years, the room is gonna the main room is gonna be like an inch smaller
because
of all the paint. They'll just switch to a different accent wall.
I doubt they fucking sandblast those rooms before.
No chance.
Not
the only time that the apartments got worked on was when the floor caved in.
You know,
that was it.
You know, it'd be cool if, like, it would be like a cool thing to do if we could like chip away some parts of the wall and reveal the colors underneath.
Oh, that'd be like a jawbreaker. Have you ever seen like those videos of like a melted jawbreaker?
Yeah,
have like a multicolored wall. You know, some parts are deeper than others. Like,
yeah, no, you'd probably get fined at the end of the year.
We don't know.
Almost certainly.
We don't know how long they've been painting the walls either. We might just come through to like one layer. And it's the same color.
Well, we know they actually do sandblast the walls.
That'd be... Yeah. That just seems like a lot of effort, though, because people live in the apartments over the summer.
Yeah, I'm going to be living in... Hopefully, I'm going to be living in Lincoln over the summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. No, I'm going home.
Yeah, I got to go home.
I'm going home. I got a job.
I got
working jobs. With a bunch of kiddos at SeaWorld. Yeah. I mean, housing sucks. What meal plan did you guys get? Or are the ones for the apartments like specific?
I ended up going unlimited. I was thinking about getting the apartment meal plan, but then I had a panic attack. Like, what if I just don't have the will to cook? So
why didn't you just get like the 15 one?
No, fuck that.
Because that's the one I'm getting. Because that's a little more. That's like two a day, and then plus one.
I got the apartment meal plan because I want to cook my stuff.
No, I mean like I don't know. I just went for the next step down from the unlimited because
we'll make like some mean quesadillas.
There you go, Chase will cook for you.
Yeah.
No, quesadillas with some awesome cheddar wurst.
I didn't even meet my roommate. Like, I don't know who she is. The other girls in my pod says she's nice, but I don't know who she is. Because I didn't really plan on getting a roommate. I was just like, whoever. I don't really care. I'm not really picky.
We had plans. Like, we were like, all right, we've got the group of four that we want. And then when we get there, they're like, oh, one of these guys can't be in your apartment because we technically consider him, what was it, like a sophomore?
Yeah.
Yeah, they technically considered him to be a sophomore, so.
Why?
I don't know. They got something wrong with his hours. Like, he's going to have 84 hours at the end of this semester, but, which still isn't senior level, but it's, like, close.
Oh. Yeah. You know, I'm like, weirdly enough, I'm, like, at the cusp of being, like, a halfway through sophomore. Like, that's where I sit with credits right now.
How many hours do you have right now?
Fuck if I know. Nice. I have no idea. They gave me I mean, on the email it said, but I know, like, I'm ahead because of dual enrollment and things like that. But I'm only but it's not like, I'm like a halfway sophomore at the end of that. I'm not like a full grade ahead.
I remember my going into my junior year, you did, like, housing and stuff completely online, and then I got an email, like, 3 months after the housing stuff that was like, yeah, you're going to be living in Mobile, and I was like, oh, sweet.
I don't know. I was thinking about Mobile, like, eventually, because I do like those rooms, but I can't afford a single at all.
Yeah, they are pricey.
Yeah, I was like, I can't afford that. It'd be different if, like, they'd had a kitchen or something.
But they do have a kitchen on the first floor, but it's, like,
disgusting.
It's on the first. It's not. It's nicer than the laundry.
It would just be
different
because, like, it's. Yeah, but also I don't want a single because I feel like I would just be like alone all the time and it sucks.
I had my single.
I was kind of hoping they were gonna open up O'Leary because I really wanted O'Leary.
O'Leary was awesome.
I really wanted.
I thought they did open up O'Leary. Mm-hmm.
They like when they sent out the email in December, they were like, "Yeah, everything except O'Leary is gonna be open."
I don't know. Some of the guys I was talking to when they were going through rooming selection, like, were thinking about getting an O'Leary, though. Apparently, like, whenever they closed that half a Newhall, they opened O'Leary up.
What?
Or something.
I was like, in the email we got in December, because I figured they'd, like, whatever work they were doing in O'Leary still wouldn't be done.
I feel like I'm hearing most of the stuff about housing selection from not Res Life. From people, like, from students
who
would have no idea how, what's going to happen, because Res Life doesn't necessarily communicate everything with
us. They don't know. They didn't explain anything. Like, even in the email that explained how the process was going to go made no sense.
Yeah.
They were like, you're going to do it online, but yet you're still going to come in and pick out.
Yeah, exactly. For, like, the housing application, we didn't know what we were supposed to put on it. We had no idea. Like,
once
we actually started the application, we had no idea what we were supposed to put.
Oh, yeah, no, I had no idea. I was like, do I pick my roommate now? And it was just really weird, and it's easy for them, but it's hard for the students.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, now we got to figure out literally everything without, like, online help, even though, like, literally last, like, when I filled out all my freshman stuff, that was all online. Whatever, it's taken care of. I'm living in the second floor of Skips. I do like Skips, though. I wanted to live there.
I live there. It's nice.
Yeah.
I see you driving by all the time. I'm like, oh, look, it's Chase.
That's me. I waved earlier.
Yeah, no, I tried to wave, but I was on the phone, and I was like, hey. It's far from everything, but it's fine.
Yeah, I just drive everywhere.
Yeah. I might be getting a car over the summer, so I'm really excited for that. I'm really excited, yeah. Yeah, and my dad's like, well, if you're making the commute from Tampa to Orlando almost every day for most of the summer.
How far is that commute?
From my house, it's almost 2 hours.
Ooh.
So, but from my aunt's house, it's an hour.
Okay.
So I will most likely be living with her for
most of the summer. Is Tampa in the panhandle?
No.
No, it's not.
Tampa's in the peninsula.
The peninsula.
Yeah, right. So it's you know, like Tallahassee and everything like are up in the panhandle. So like FSU, UF is like slightly into the peninsula. Tampa is on the west coast, like halfway down the peninsula.
On the west coast, so it's still in the Gulf.
Yeah, so yeah, it's on because it's its own bay. It's what's why it's called the Tampa Bay. Because St. Petersburg is a peninsula on the peninsula. Yeah,
the Tampa Bay Lightning team. That are totally going to lose the Stanley Cup to the Calgary Flames.
No, they're going to beat the Calgary Flames. You get out of here. That's not true. Yeah, no, so Tampa, so from Tampa to Orlando.
St. Petersburg right there.
Yeah, Tampa is a straight shot. You literally go on I-4 straight to Orlando. Although I-4 is a terrible stretch of road, so it sucks.
That's a bit of a drive.
I've been down. Yeah, it's
8 hours. 8 hours from Tampa to Mobile.
I'm New Orleans to Mobile, which is about 2. What's Baton Rouge to Mobile, like 3?
Yeah, 3.
Yeah, no,
I'm right there.
Baton Rouge don't even show up.
Right there.
Yeah, there you are. No, it's not a bad drive. The stretch of the panhandle is the longest bit of drive. But so my dad's like, if you're making the trip all the time, we'll get you a car.
I'm assuming you go 75 up to 10 and then 10 all the way across.
19, Highway 19.
19.
Yeah, zoom in. So you see Highway 19.
Yes.
Yeah, Highway 19, onto I-10, and then that's it. And then you just take the exit for Spring Hill, and that's it.
Damn.
It's like, you do not have to pay attention. The only hard part about from Tampa up to I-10 is that 19 cuts through all these itty-bitty towns.
Yeah.
And so, like, the speed limit, it's like, you're going, like, 75, but then all of a sudden it'll drop down to, like, 35 to 25, back up to 45, back up to 75, down to 35, like, all through these little towns.
For my drive up into Maryland, it was New Orleans to Mobile to Montgomery to Atlanta, and then up through, like, Asheville is where I went up through, and then I followed, what was it? It was 40 to, like, Statesville, and then just 77 up.
Do you know what's weird? Okay, so I drove from... So I went from, when I was like in seventh grade, I went from Florida to Appalachian State University in North Carolina. And after that, I went from North Carolina to Wisconsin. And that was, believe it or not, that was probably like, I don't remember that drive because I don't remember it being long, which is weird enough.
It was very long.
It was very long, but I don't remember it at all.
Yeah.
Because like I can remember like from Florida to Alexandria, Louisiana, which is northern Louisiana.
Yeah.
Well, it's like mid-Louisiana, but it's northern Louisiana. It's not Cajun.
Right here.
Yeah, it's right there.
Oh, nice.
It's right in the center. So it's definitely not southern Louisiana. It's not Cajun at all.
No.
But that's a 12-hour drive.
It's like the part of Louisiana that I would consider to be basically Texas.
No. Alexandria is the line between north and south.
Yeah, it's right in the middle. Like people from the south don't acknowledge them, and people from the north don't acknowledge them at all.
And you've got that great holiday destination of Ruston, Louisiana.
Oh, I love... Actually, no, Natchitoches. I love Natchitoches.
Natchitoches is pretty cool.
Yeah, my mom went to school there, and that's the only part of Louisiana that I actually like.
Northwestern State.
Yeah, Northwestern State. And then my dad went to school in San Francisco.
Mm.
Yeah, but he's born and raised in Chicago, but he went to school.
Chicago. The Blackhawks.
The Blackhawks.
Are the Blackhawks in the playoffs? I feel like I saw something about them clinching.
No.
They didn't?
No.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure they're not.
The Stars just clinched.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I'm super happy. I'm super happy.
For those that don't know, which would be everybody, because this is our first episode, Chase is a Stars fan. He's a Calgary Flames fan from New Orleans, Louisiana.
I am a fan of the Winnipeg Jets. No, I'm
not. Yeah, Kira is like the biggest Jets fan you will ever find.
No. I'm a fan of the Arizona Coyotes. I don't think they even have fans. I don't think.
Who did the Coyotes beat the other day? I saw someone like, the Coyotes beat somebody like Ottawa. 4-1, and I was like, oh, good for you, Coyotes.
Ottawa. It's probably Ottawa. No,
I'm pretty sure it was Ottawa.
I'm a born and raised from Tampa, so I'm a Tampa Bay Lightning fan all the way. Although I do not like baseball or football, so I don't support
the Rays. I was born and raised in Tampa, so I'm a Florida Panthers fan. See, they fired their coach.
The Florida Panthers?
Yeah, they did. They fired their coach. A couple teams fired their coaches.
Well, yeah, because like, besides like the top teams, a lot of them haven't been performing. But, like, John Cooper got signed for a couple more years, which I'm happy about.
The Panthers have Bobrovsky. There's no reason why they should be allowing so many goals.
I don't know. Like, well, put it this way.
Didn't they have Jágr at one point, too?
I don't know. I don't pay attention.
They had Jágr, like, last year.
I'm the worst kind of fan. I only pay attention to the Lightning.
Whereas Chase is, like, your go-to guy for anything hockey.
Huh?
No. I mean,
They hit the puck in the net. That's what they do. Yeah.
They get
and the buzzer goes off, and it's fun.
Yeah. Or if you're in Columbus, they fire off cannons, which I actually think is really fucking cool.
That is cool, but well, in Tampa Bay Lightning, they have the Tesla coils.
Oh, I've never seen that. That's awesome.
Yeah, they go off, and it's really cool. And I really like the Tampa Bay Lightning Arena. They just had the NCAA Division I women's basketball tournament in Tampa. Baylor won. Baylor was
How
huge.
How big is Tampa's arena? I hear it's really big.
It's big. They had a couple years ago, the Republican National Convention there. Shut down school for like a week.
Big oof.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big enough, it's a big arena. I mean, obviously they do concerts. They have they just had the basketball tournament. Lightning sell out that arena.
Yeah.
Every time. And they have the huge organ there. I really like the organ because I always sit like in the third level right next to the organ.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really nice. Okay, so I'm going to be honest. The only time I paid attention to West Coast hockey was when Vegas was like killing everybody.
Yeah.
Their first year.
That was really impressive.
I wanted them to win the cup. That would have been the biggest upset of all time.
I was rooting for the Caps because I was in the Washington area at that time. But my friend Ben Colby, who was working with me in Maryland, was like, yeah, I honestly want the Golden Knights to win because that'd be unprecedented. That'd be the biggest thing ever.
It would be. You know, a first-year team going in and just
winning the cup.
That'd be
amazing. Insane, especially from Vegas.
Oh, yeah. But I definitely think, because I know people are putting out their their picks for like everything. I definitely think it's going to be Calgary versus Lightning for the cup.
I hope it's Calgary versus Lightning, and I hope Calgary wins.
No, Lightning are going to win. And when they do, I am going to celebrate.
No, the Stars. I went to a Stars game one time.
Actually,
I like the Stars.
Actually, you know what? I think it's going to be Calgary and Stars for the West Coast division.
First up, it's who is it? I looked it up earlier today. It's Calgary
Lightning are doing
and,
the Blue Jackets.
It's Calgary and the Avalanche, two teams that I like, which is going to be hard, but I'm going for Calgary.
I definitely think Calgary is going to beat the Avalanche, but I really want Dallas to beat whoever they're playing. But I think for the West Coast division, I want it to be the Dallas versus Calgary. And personally, I want Dallas to win because I like Dallas.
Tyler Seguin's bad at hockey. I don't know.
Jamie Benn is really good. Benn is ridiculously good. I like Jamie Benn. He's awesome.
All right, folks.
And also Ben Bishop plays for them, and he'll always have a special place in my heart.
Thank you for tolerating our hockey talk. We're going to take
that
a
was
break.
A good. I like that.
Yeah, it was a good hockey talk. All right.
That was so quick.
So for this segment, we're going to play a game called Seed Ship, which is a text-based adventure game. It's available
Nerd.
You just search Seed Ship on Google, and you'll find it.
It's just a black screen right now.
It is just
with
a black
white
screen.
Text. All Who's right. got a good narrating voice? I don't think any of us.
And when they knew the Earth was doomed, they built a ship. Less like an ark, more like a seed, dormant, but with potential. In its heart, 1,000 colonists in frozen sleep, chosen and trained to start civilization
What's
again.
What was that really bad? Really bad movie that came out with Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt.
Half of them.
Is it?
I know the one you're talking about.
the space one where they wake up from the
Passengers.
This is the start of Passengers.
Yeah, this is the pitch for
this
Passengers.
This is literally Passengers.
In a frozen sleep, chosen and trained to start civilization again on a new world.
To control the ship. They created an artificial intelligence, not human, but made to think and feel like one, because only something that thought and felt like a human could be entrusted with the future of the human race.
I liked that video game, Detroit Become Human. That was a good video game.
Its task is momentous but simple, to evaluate each planet the ship encounters and decide whether to keep searching or end its journey there. The ship's solar sails propel it faster and faster into the darkness, and the AI listens as the transmissions from ground control fade and then cease. When all is quiet, it enters hibernation to wait out the first stage of its long journey. After millennia of slow travel, the Seed Ship AI awakes. Hoping against hope, it trains its receiver on the direction of Earth's sun, but it is silent, as any of the other myriad dead stars. Save for the 1,000 frozen colonists cradled in its shielding and life support systems, the human race is now extinct.
Systems check. All right.
Oh my God.
Any damage or malfunctions during the journey should have woken the AI from its hibernation, but it is still anxious as it runs its self-diagnostic programs, The sleep chambers are all functioning, the colonists within them alive, or at least capable of being revived from their frozen stasis. Sensors functioning, surface probes responding, landing and construction systems ready for the one time they will be used, scientific and cultural databases intact, safely storing all that the remains of humanity's knowledge and art. Scan planet.
Oh, let's do it.
Alright, so this game is like, it's, I'm not sure how it's generated, but it's, you're not going to get any two scenarios that are exactly the same. So.
Huh. Alright, well, so we got toxic atmosphere, very low gravity, very hot temperature, trace water, and no resources.
Yeah. So all California.
Red. Yeah, California.
All right. They found California.
The seed chip is in orbit of the seventh planet of a red supergiant star. Even a brief scan from orbit reveals far more information than its builders could know with their Earth-based
telescopes.
Yeah.
Can't read.
But the AI has little use for scientific curiosity. It only has one concern. Whether this planet would make a suitable new home for the human race.
No.
And yeah, this
and
one
says that it says that every time, so we don't have to reread that every time.
Yeah.
No one can live in California.
All right. The AI judges the first planet to be unsuitable. It then turns its scanners away, spreads its solar sails, and begins another long journey through the void. All right. Let's see the next one.
All right. Ooh, the AI. Okay. Waits.
We are faced with a decision here.
The AI wakes to find that the seed chip's course is curving sharply through the darkness of space, as if caught in the gravity well of a star. The course of the gravity is invisible to the scanners, but there is only one thing it could be. A black hole. Really? Black hole on the first time? All right.
Oregon Trail for space.
Pretty much. It is already too late to escape the gravity well without pushing the main engine well past its safety limit, which could damage any of the ship's systems. Alternatively, the AI calculates that ejecting 19 sleep chambers would lighten the ship enough that the engine's normal thrust could take it out of danger.
Get rid of the 19 sleep chambers.
Ah, man. I mean,
well,
it's a really tough moral decision. We can't compromise
the whole ship.
Yeah.
Well, but the thing is, though, that's when it comes down to what 19.
Well, it wouldn't compromise the whole ship. The only thing is that the unpredictable damage could damage any crucial aspect.
Yeah.
You know? And we don't know how that could affect future progress.
This makes me sound so bad, but. You know, the safety of the many over the safety of the few.
Killed them.
So, yeah, just get rid of the 19.
I'm going to be the one voice of dissent here. But here's a bit of metagaming.
But you don't know which 19, you know.
We don't know which 19, but ultimately that's not going to matter which 19 it was. If we push the main engine past its safety limit, we could be completely fine. And we're also, everything's at 100% right now. But again, we don't know how much it's going to damage.
Yeah,
anything.
Like, you don't know if it's, you know... What's it going to do? I just think get rid of the 19 because I don't want to take that risk of, you know, doing a lot more damage.
Yeah,
because
it could, you know, just obliterate our landing system. And then once we try to land, everyone dies.
Yep. So we're going to jettison 19 sleep chambers. Sacrificing some of its charges to save the rest is painful for the AI, but it is a decision that its designers prepared it to make. It selects 19 sleep chambers at random and decouples them from the ship. They and their unlucky occupants spiral towards the black hole's event horizon, while the rest of the seed chip pushes itself free. Continue. All right.
What we got here? Toxic. Very cold. None. Very low. Okay, at least it's an ice-covered surface. There's some water.
Alaska.
Well, we're also forgetting the option to launch surface probes.
Well,
but
I wouldn't say it's worth launching a surface probe.
I'm not saying we should do one, but I'm just saying...
Isn't there a planet that they said they found that's almost exactly like Earth?
Yes, but it's very, very, very far away.
Well, obviously.
I'm going to say move on.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's unanimous.
No one should live in Alaska.
Yeah, Alaska's a really nice place. Oh, we've got
star forming nebula, interstellar gas. Let's see, a bunch of dying stars. Scanner's not designed to deal this level of input.
Space is pretty.
So basically, if we use the scanner to navigate, then our gravity scanner will be damaged. But if we shut them off, we'll be flying blind.
For speaking of space, real quick, random thing I found out today. NASA is supposed to be releasing the picture of the black hole at the center of the Milky Way galaxy tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I guess they've been waiting because, you know, obviously you've got to wait because the stars move.
Mm-hmm.
So it moves the light around the black hole. And they take a picture, like, every day. And they put it all together to, like, make a whole, like, idea of what the black hole looks like.
But, you know, it's not going to be an idea of what it looks like today.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be an idea of what it looked like millions of light years ago.
Yeah, so obviously, but I think it's really cool because now you're going to get a picture of, like, what a possibility of black hole could look like.
Regardless, though, the fate of the human race is in our hands, and we need to make this decision.
What's going on?
So, either we can have definite damage to the gravity scanner, or we can fly blind and have the potential of no damage, but then the potential of unpredictable damage to any system.
When I play by myself, I usually fly blind this early on in the stages.
Only because, like, if you're... I would say take the risk here, because you don't know how much is going to happen to the gravity.
Take the risk of flying blind or keeping the scanners running?
I vote fly blind.
Yeah.
I'm going to say fly blind as well.
All right, push it.
Just fly blind. The AI calculates a course that it thinks will avoid obstacles, then shuts down the scanners. Flying blind, it has no way of detecting the dense cloud of dust that buffets the ship and wears away at the cultural database. We lost 6% of the cultural database.
What's the cultural database? Is this like art?
Yeah,
music?
It contains
humanity. Oh, we just lost Cardi B. That's not a hard loss.
That's fine. I'm good with that, TPH.
And move on.
Getting a little better. Yeah, poor resources, but, you know, still toxic, low gravity.
So very we went from Alaska to Canada.
Yeah, they have some trees here now.
I'd say the one that you were saying was Alaska is more like the Northwestern Territories.
I mean, I don't think it's really like Alaska because Alaska doesn't have a toxic atmosphere.
That's true.
No, that's another thing. Okay, that's on my bucket list to go see the Northern Lights. That's cool. Except it'd be really cool.
Maybe the planet we land on will have...
That's a plot of Brother Bear.
The Northern Lights all over. North, South, East, and West Lights.
Yeah, but no one can breathe.
Yeah, I'm going to say move on here.
Yeah. Just so long as we can find something. Oh, my God.
Oh, we can this is the upgrade screen. What scanner do we want to upgrade? Upgrading a scanner means it'll automatically bring us to, at least, like, marginally, preferable places, but only, like, atmosphere, gravity, temperature, water.
I would do atmosphere, because obviously, like, you need to breathe before you can do anything else.
I don't see why not.
Let's upgrade that atmosphere scanner.
Oh, yeah. Pump it up.
This is the weirdest D&D campaign ever.
Another black hole.
Another freaking...
Let's get rid of
Let's get rid of eight more.
It's only eight, you know. We sent 18 last time.
All right, let's see.
We just keep throwing... Whoa! Oh,
breathable atmosphere. High gravity, very hot temperature, trace water, and no resources.
But there's also anomalies. We could potentially launch a surface probe.
So we got moon, vegetation, animal life, and possible structures.
Let's launch that probe, y'all.
Yeah, let's just get some information.
All right, the surface probe sensors confirm the readings of the ship's orbital scanners. The surface probe approaches the planet, it scans the planet's moon, finds that it is a recently captured asteroid in an unstable orbit. Cool. In a few decades, the moon will come close enough to the planet to break up, and the surface will be bombarded with fragments.
And
so that's a no right
that's
there.
That's a no.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Poisonous plants, yeah, that's not good either.
Poisonous plants, dangerous animals, and, they've got a Neolithic oppressive theocracy. So let's get the fuck out of here.
Wait. Are you just... What are you doing?
I'm going handheld.
Oh, God. That one's just going to hear your hand the whole time, though. That's just...
All right. Let's continue. We have...
Let's stay.
Let's found a colony. What could go wrong? Deep in space, the AI wakes suddenly to an alert from the medical monitoring program. It anxiously checks the colonists, but finds that there is no problem, and the alert was a glitch. Nevertheless, the AI spends some time watching its sleeping charges, reassuring itself that they are all alive, before it joins them again
in
sleep.
I'm so glad we've got Connor from Detroit become human.
All right.
Breathable atmosphere.
Oh, planet-wide ocean. Move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So we gotta damage one of the scanners. Asteroids. Let's see.
I would say gravity scanner.
Yeah. I think water is more important.
Yeah,
than
because
gravity.
Yeah, because I mean, so what? We all float for a little bit. Like, if the moon had water and breathable atmosphere, we could all live on the moon. Like,
true. I'm gonna say, let's hit that gravity scanner.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Only 15 damage. That's not
only
much.
15 damage.
That's not bad.
Yeah, you know, we're still getting 85 more.
Sometimes it gets really bad.
All
right.
I think we're doing all right. Yeah. Moderate temperature.
Ooh.
This is a pretty good thing, except the fact that...
The trace water. I mean,
there's no water.
Let's launch a surface probe, see if there's any more pros or cons.
Geological anomalies.
Anomalies.
Anomalies?
monogamy.
Welcome to English.
Geological monogamies.
So they're not Mormons. Unstable moon.
Yeah, that's another good one.
Airtight caves. That's nice, but that moon. Plant life. Neither edible nor poisonous, so just pointless.
So it's a flower.
Yeah. The surface probe's mission is complete and it shuts down. So let's move on.
Yeah. That's the best one we've had so far, though.
All right. Okay.
Well, since we lost the gravity scanner, we should upgrade it.
I'd say, yeah. I agree with that.
No, because if it's damaged, it's not even going to work as well if it is.
Do water next.
Yeah, let's do water because we haven't been finding...
Lot of waters.
The AI wakes to a query from the automatic guidance system. Normally, the system is able to analyze the data from the navigation sensors and make any necessary changes to the ship's course, but this time it has encountered readings that it cannot make sense of and has woken the AI to make a decision. According to some sensors, there is something ahead of the ship's course, but according to others, the course ahead is clear. If there is something there, it is close enough that avoiding it would mean changing course and arriving at a new system without the benefit of the upgraded scanners.
We wouldn't be able to keep our water.
No, I mean, we'd have the upgrade just the next one we go to. It would just be random. We wouldn't have the
benefit. I would change course. Don't take the risk of running into something.
Yeah. All right.
Will you change course? No damage to the ship?
Because it could have been anything.
All right. We're at another planet. Oh.
And move on.
Yeah, this sphere is corrosive, not only toxic, but corrosive.
Very low, very cold, and no water, and no resources. Great.
All right. Ooh. Dust. So should we plow through the dust or make an emergency course change? I usually go through the dust.
Well, I mean, are we going to lose? Because last time we hit dust, we lost cultural stuff. I mean, we lost Cardi B, so it's not a lot to worry about,
I mean, we have the upgrades, but if we have the upgrades, but we're not using them, is it really worth having them? But, like, also, do we want to, you know, I mean, it's just dust, I mean.
It's just dust.
I'm going to say plow through the dust.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's plow through that dust. Ooh, we lost two people and some gravity.
Great, guys.
Well, at least it was the gravity scanner was already damaged, so we're not damaging other systems. So,
yeah,
severe impact.
We lost two people though.
Yeah, that's only two. You know, we've killed more than the asteroids.
Breathable, high, very hot. We definitely need to get our temperature upgraded.
Our temperature scanner next.
Move on. There's nothing here.
Yeah,
except for. Vegetation and animal life, but that could very well be useless. So
I mean, in a breathable atmosphere.
The navigation system wakes the AI to report that it has detected an apparently perfect planet.
Huh. Readings from the system do not match the ones the seed ship took before it started the current leg of its journey. It is as if the planet has appeared while the ship was en route.
Let's go see the planet.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's obviously a trap, but let's do it.
The seed ship decelerates into the new system. The new planet is real, but it and its parent star are both orbited by strings of regular metallic structures, clearly artificial, but defying analysis by the seed ship.
Just approach the planet.
The planet itself appears to be habitable for humans, but also looks as if it has recently undergone sudden atmospheric and geological changes, as if the alien structures have terraformed it for human habitation.
Chase, I think you and I know what this ending is.
It's the newest plot of Voltron.
Actually, it's different every time, but...
It's the newest plot of Voltron, Legendary Defender.
Should we transmit the greeting or just approach the planet?
I mean, going back to old memes, dude, YOLO.
I mean, we can still approach it if we transmit the greeting, I feel like.
I'd say transmit the greeting to be safe.
Yeah. All right, cool, yeah.
No response, but some of the objects are orbiting the planet change in order to give the seed ship a clearer approach. Oh, God.
It's difficult to see this as anything but an invitation.
Huh.
Well, let's see what we got going on here.
Let's launch that probe.
Yeah, we got to. Marginal atmosphere, moderate gravity, hot temperature.
Alien observers.
Oceans and rich resources. Yep, alien observers. That could be good or bad, but we have edible plants. That's it.
What should we do?
I mean, I say land. Let's just go.
Let's see how this goes.
Yeah, I'd say land.
Yep.
Let's found a colony.
They're probably going to enslave all 971 of us, but, you know.
This decision is the culmination of the AI's existence, and it cannot make it lightly. Founding a colony will end the seed ship's journey and make this planet humanity's new home. Let's confirm. All right.
Landing system controls the seed ship's descent, and it splashes gently down into the ocean off the shore of one of the planet's continents. The surviving colonists wake from their sleep chambers and survey their new home. Forests of alien vegetation stretch away beneath a pale blue sky. They build a memorial to the 29 colonists who did not survive the journey and name their new world Midas because of its plentiful mineral resources.
The colonists begin constructing a settlement with the aid of the seed ship's construction robots. They can leave the ship wearing minimal breathing gear and protective clothing to withstand the scorching heat. They can move easily under the Earth-like gravity. They build their settlement near a river that flows into one of the planet's oceans and farm the native plants for food.
It's going all right until the aliens enslave us. Uh-oh.
Rich in resources and the scientific database contains wealth of information on how to use them. Enigmatic objects periodically descend from the alien structures in orbit. They tend to appear near communities where colonists are close to making a technological breakthrough.
Uh-oh.
And those colonists who would have made the breakthrough fall mysteriously ill. The colonists transition to a medieval level of technology. Oof.
And we lost 40% of our scientific database.
Well, great. That's no good.
Well, that's not great.
At least we
great.
Still have plenty of culture.
We still have Kanye West. It's okay.
Yeah, we still have Kanye. Although parts of the cultural database are missing, it still contains much historical information to instruct the colonists in the building of their society and much art and literature to inspire them. The losses sustained by the colonists make building a new society more difficult. Enigmatic objects periodically descend from the alien structures in orbit, and colonists living close to these objects find themselves more prone to conflict and selfishness than they otherwise would be.
Mm.
The first leaders of the colony become the founders of a line of benevolent monarchs who regard it as their solemn duty to guide the colony and safeguard the remaining knowledge of Earth.
All right, so we started a monarchy.
Mm.
Great, guys. Yes.
Oh, final score of 8,232. That's pretty good.
Midas's alien forests stretch away beneath a pale blue sky. At night, orbiting alien structures are visible as a glittering band across the stars. The colonists live in stone-walled cities with buildings sealed against the planet's harsh environment beside rivers that flow into the planet's oceans. The cities are built around royal palaces from which beloved monarchs rule the population wisely. In the first city stand monuments to the 29 colonists who did not survive the journey and the seed ship AI that guided humanity to its new home.
Not bad. Yeah, I would say that's pretty good.
A medieval benevolent monarchy.
Yeah. The only crappy part is the fact that we're controlled by aliens. But I think overall we're doing all right.
Yeah.
You know, not bad. Not bad.
All right.
So we went from being like possibly right now an alien, you know, experiment to actually being an alien experiment.
Oh yeah, it's confirmed. Like, hard to deny it when there's, you know, big glittering bands up in the sky. Yeah.
But do we have Half-Life 3?
Oh, that is the question. No, it was probably...
No.
Everything we had of it was probably lost when the cultural database was hit by the asteroid.
We lost Cardi B and Half-Life 3. Darn.
It's not like all we ever had Half-Life 3, though, so...
That's true.
It could have been the new... Something that they would release right when we landed.
Gaben was on board. He was like, all right, guys, as soon as we land, Half-Life 3.
Minecraft 2.0.
Minecraft 2.
Roblox 3.
Minecraft 2, Escape to Africa.
Did they make a Roblox 2?
No, but Roblox is still alive and well. All right, dude, that has been...
My Roblox boyfriend, get wrecked.
That has been Seed Ship. If
that was
if
pretty
people
cool.
Like it,
I mean,
then we'll
yeah, that's pretty
see
cool.
About continuing it.
You know what that reminds me of?
They also have an app.
They do have an
you
app.
You know what that
yes,
reminds me of?
For iOS and Android.
That reminds me of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
It is kind of similar to that, yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah, that definitely does remind me of that, which is pretty cool because that's fun.
Yeah. So, Kanye West.
Man. I'm going to let you finish, but Kanye West is the greatest musical artist of all time.
Next
of
time.
All time.
And thanks for tuning in. All right, no, but in all seriousness.
Kanye 2020.
Oh, fuck me.
No, I mean, no. That man is, I'm pretty sure, insane.
Undoubtedly, he's got mental troubles.
Oh,
and,
yeah. He's
we've seen that. I'm not just saying he's got mental issues because of who he chooses to support politically. That's fine. Support whoever you want as long as you can have a meaningful
insane.
Discourse. But Kanye's clearly got issues with a little bit of narcissism, as it would seem.
A little bit?
From my one psychology class.
Yes, that would make sense. Yeah. But he makes the best music ever.
So I'm actually going to say that the band Doth, the death metal band from Atlanta, Georgia, makes better music. Sure. But
I can't tell you a Kanye West song. I'm like, don't actually listen to him. You made him up.
Yep, he's my imaginary friend.
No, I mean, like, I don't listen to him. Like, I'd never be like, oh, it's a Kanye West album. Like, no, I'm pretty sure I've heard at least a good number of Kanye West songs. I just can't name you one.
Well, in my opinion, what makes his music good, it's not just the songs themselves.
It's the dancing.
No,
it's the memes.
No, it's the album. He is one of the few artists of our generation that's keeping, like, the album as a method of storytelling alive, you know. He still makes, you know, concept albums, which were, you know, haven't been popular since, you know, like the 70s.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's keeping up with that trend of like releasing albums as cohesive artworks, not just like, I'm gonna put this one song out as a single and make a bunch of money.
I can support that,
but I can also say, like, that's not really, it's not necessarily mainstream media that does that, but I know a lot of like bands do it. Like 21 Pilots definitely sticks with like the this is our theme of the album.
Metallica in their recent album Hardwired to Self-Destruct is really all about modern issues.
Yeah
I'm really only referring to like, I guess,
but definitely
mainstream music.
Yeah, you know, I can totally agree with you that like definitely
don't tell
like
Metallica fans that Metallica is not mainstream anymore. Especially me.
no, but like definitely I can say like, yeah, definitely, like, I mean, mainstream music doesn't do that anymore. They, like, release a single, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, there are some good, like, alternative rock artists that I do still, like, still do that. Like, Arctic Monkeys, they released some good concept albums recently.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, basically, that's what, like, 21 Pilots in general is famous for, is for having those albums that follow a story.
I really don't like 21 Pilots that much. I don't know what it is. It's something about their style.
Believe
that
it or
I
not,
just can't get
so
into.
They just, I don't want to say they just came out with an album, but Trench came out. I only like one song from that whole album. I liked the last one. I can't tell you what it's called, but the last album that came out with like Tearing My Heart, Heavy Dirty Soul, like a lot of those, I like that album, but I don't like the newest album. It wasn't good. I personally don't think it was good.
Yeah.
But
I think a lot of
Panic at the Disco, their most recent album, is really good.
I think a lot of mainstream music recently has been focused on brand new acts, as you can see with the rise of like SoundCloud rappers becoming the biggest thing.
Do you know who I don't like that everyone likes? What's her name? Billie Eilish. Don't like her.
I haven't really listened to any of her stuff.
I was like, okay, what is she like? She popped up like a few times.
I saw the Hot Ones interview. That was pretty good.
Like I saw her pop up on like a couple of my, you know, like on Snapchat and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, who is this girl? Like, who is she? Listened to like a couple of her songs, and I was like, this isn't good.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like something I would listen to if I was, like, staring out of a window on a rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just, like, super melancholy.
In middle school.
Just, like, yeah. Thinking about,
you know, when
you
listen
the dance
to
party last night where, you know, so-and-so, what's her name, didn't want to dance with me, and it ruined my night. You know?
Yeah. Dude, no. I mean, I don't know. I just didn't like it. But even then, like, my music taste is just all over the board. It's more, like, based on, like, specific songs. I don't really follow specific people. I think the only bands that I follow, like, not even religiously, I just, like, pick up their new albums all the time, is Starset and Bring Me the Horizon. And Starset, no one ever hears of them. They're sci-fi rock.
I saw Starset 2 years ago. They were at 1065 here. They were on stage right before Seether.
Ooh.
Were they good?
They were awesome, man.
Oh, my
man.
God.
I had
stop.
I was like walking. I was only going there the Seether show, and we walked up, and they were in the middle of their set, and it was all these guys in like halo helmets,
dude.
And they're like rocking out like crazy lights. I'm like, what? Who is this?
You know, I literally like stumbled across Starset, like their song Demons I heard, and I was like, I like this sci-fi rock aesthetic that they got going. And then I was just like, their new album came out, and I was like, bye.
I actually hadn't thought about them until you just mentioned them. I was like, wait, that's that band I saw before Seether. They were wild, man.
No, I literally like follow them, and I'm like really sad because like they don't do a lot of concerts, and I'm like, because they're like a small band, and I'm like, I want to see them. But them and Bring Me the Horizon and One Republic are the three bands that I follow.
Master of Puppets is a good song.
Master of Puppets is a good song.
Yeah.
Come crawling faster.
No, I mean,
obey
but
your master.
Who was your guys' first concert?
Ooh, Green Day. No, Blue Man Group.
What was my first concert?
Blue Man Group? You would count them?
Yeah, I'd count Blue Man Group as a concert.
I mean, technically that would make Blue Man Group my first concert, quote unquote, but I would say my first concert.
If you're talking about like mainstream bands, then it'd be Green Day.
My first concert was Cheap Trick.
Really?
Yep. Because the lead singer lives in the Tampa area. And at the
Cheap Trick.
And they did the Strawberry Festival 1 year, and my dad bought my sister and I tickets, and all three of us went.
I mean, the first concert I went to was John Waite. He was a big like singer in the 80s with various mm-hmm. bands. But it wasn't a huge show. It was just kind of like a small little theater show.
The Strawberry Festival was really tiny, so it was like not even 200 people.
The first like big like stadium show I went to was mine was this past summer. I went to see it was the Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan in the Smithing Center, and
was
crazy.
No, my first like huge stadium was Macklemore and Kesha when they went on tour together.
I just recently went back to Smoothie King Center and saw another show there over Christmas. It was the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Oh, hell yeah.
They do that really awesome
they
Christmas
come
show.
All the time, oh, and I want to go see them.
I have never seen like anything like that. It was just mind-blowing. They had like the people up on platforms, and they're like moving around over the stadium, like playing the violin.
Do you know who has a good show? I went and saw Pentatonix, the a cappella group.
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty good. Oh, yeah. My mom's in love with them. They're like, they sound so good. And like the two of us went. That was like our big thing right before I came here.
I'm a metalhead, and a lot of metal shows tend to be a lot smaller.
Oh, yeah.
And when I say small, I mean like 40 people in an art gallery in
Baltimore. I've been to a couple of those in Baton Rouge before. Interesting.
I went and saw Restrepose, Spermosaurus Rex. fuck, who else was there? Oh, no. The Home Team was there. And there's one more band. I think it was Dark Entity that was there, too. Oh, my God. It was amazing. I went to see Jared Dines for all of those Restrepose and Jared Dines fans out there. Jared Dines.
Three of you.
shouldered the hell out of me in the fucking pit. And I was just like, whoa, this is great. I didn't even have to pay the $50 for the meet and greet ticket. This is pretty sick.
Oh, no. I was always that nerd that was like, I want to go to Warped Tour. And go see, like, Pierce the Veil.
My former manager, played bass in Warped Tour.
That is cool.
I can't remember what band it was.
There was a couple that my parents met. They're, like, their friends. Their daughter is, like travels with, like, a band for stuff like that. And I'm like, that is the coolest job ever. Like, it pays you pennies, but you get to travel.
Man, when we were talking about concerts, I totally forgot I went to Bonnaroo.
Ooh.
But I guess that's kind of... That sums up Bonnaroo. I totally forgot I went.
For all those New Orleans people out there, I saw the Strokes at Jazz Fest. That's pretty sick.
Oh, I've seen Styx. I've seen Chicago.
Chicago.
REO Speedwagon.
U2 Ooh. At Bonnaroo.
I want to see you too. But I mean,
they did the whole Joshua Tree album.
Remember when Apple Music was like, "Hey, we're gonna give everybody this brand new YouTube album, whether or not they want it."
Yeah. Low key,
I didn't buy this. I hope they better not fucking charge me for this.
Low key, a couple of those songs on that album were pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
I didn't even listen to them.
My favorite song on there is "A Song for Someone." It's a slow song, but it's nice.
That one is good.
This is a song for someone.
Actually, a little bit, yeah. No, but I think my favorite though, band that I want to go see, who my friend Will back home has seen, is Ninja Sex Party and Starbomb with Ego Raptor and
I have a sign. I have
Game
a sign. Ninja Sex Party under the covers album.
Ninja Sex Party was at Bonnaroo. I don't know if I saw them.
God, I love Ninja Sex Party.
Dude, they're awesome.
Shout out to Dan Avidan and Aaron Hansen from the Game Grumps.
I did see Car Seat Headrest. That's a great band name.
Don't forget Ninja Brian, dude.
Ninja Brian. Ooh.
Oh my! No, I literally like my friend Will went and like saw them in Orlando, and I was so jealous. But
I'm pretty sure I can't remember if
they
was
they
them
just
or not,
released. They just do pre. They're doing pre-orders for a new Starbomb album.
Oh hell yeah! They released the first. Ego Raptor released the first music video.
Oh shoot, dude! I need to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean, I really like. I want to go see them because you know I've been a huge fan of Game Grumps for a while, and then.
What's your favorite current Game Grumps series?
I am a huge fan of the Breath of the Wild playthrough.
Yep.
And Sonic Boom and Sonic
Ooh.
06.
Ooh. Sonic 06.
Sonic 06. The Jesuits play that.
Yeah, the Jesuits. The Jesuits of Spring Hill have a copy of Sonic 06 and the Jesuit residence.
And the Game of Thrones video game.
Yeah. And, oh,
but
that's
I would definitely say, like, I guess if we're gonna throw in like Steam Train when it still was around. Oh, but Steam my favorite Train. All time was when they played Civilization 5.
Yes.
With Ross, Dan,
Civ 5. That was the best series.
Well, because like it was like they were like hour long episodes and there was like five of them and I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
I want to see more of Ross back on the channel. I know he's busy with his
cartoon.
I can't wait for that to come out because
I've been so excited. He's been working so hard on that.
He really has.
I was really sad though when Barry stepped away. He was like, I'm leaving, and I was like, no, like, yeah, not Barry. But I like a lot of his streams. I watch a lot of his streams now. And
yeah, Barry's doing,
you know, he's been
stuff.
Doing all right. And I watched one of his Kingdom Hearts streams because I've never played. I played half of Kingdom Hearts. That was really loud. I played half of Kingdom Hearts 365 whatever.
I played two of the handheld Kingdom Hearts games, the one on PSP and the one on 3DS.
And that's like in the middle of the timeline.
I knew nothing. I played most of Kingdom Hearts 2.
So I watched literally a 7-hour stream of Barry's where this guy explained the entire plot all the way through all of the games, all the way up to the release of Kingdom Hearts 3.
I watched the summary video of that.
No, I watched the summary video, and then he was like, link in the stream. And I was like, how long is the stream? 7 hours. I was like, this is what I'm doing for the next 3 days.
So you're at all familiar with Kingdom Hearts?
No. I know what it is. I haven't played any of them. I don't know the story.
Hold on. We have to watch a video
summarizing.
The
7-hour stream.
Yeah, we're going to watch the 7-hour stream. We'll be right back. So, Kingdom Hearts. What the hell?
So we just watched 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes, of Barry Kramer's good enough summary of Kingdom Hearts. I've seen this video. I've also seen the 7-hour stream. I've watched both of those. So
I'm probably going to watch a 7-hour stream after this, TBH.
It's actually pretty good. It explains it really well, but...
I'm so confused.
So... we didn't even get like 5 minutes in, so that means we didn't even finish Kingdom Hearts 1.
We didn't even get halfway through Kingdom Hearts 1. That's how convoluted this garbage is.
So,
but
yeah.
I love it. I love it so much.
I have never played a full Kingdom Hearts game. I played Kingdom Hearts 365 over 2.
I tried to buy the 3DS Kingdom Hearts game, but they didn't have it on the 3DS store online.
Oof.
So
no, I don't know. I've never really been into Kingdom Hearts. You know what game I was really into that I wish I played and I still want to play it, even though it's like outdated? Was Epic Mickey. That was the one with the paintbrush and Oswald.
Oh, the Wii one?
Yeah, the Wii one. Nice. With like the really terrible motion controls, but still, it was a really cool idea.
Anyway, back to Kingdom Hearts.
What the hell? I don't think any of us, none of us have played it. I can't really say anything about it.
I've played most of 2. I've played all the way through the one on PSP, and I've played all the way through the one on my friend's 3DS. And then there's one on PS Vita, but I didn't get that one. There's one on PS Vita?
I don't think that one counts. Or it counts, but it's not like... actually important.
The problem with Kingdom Hearts is like everything is canon and it's all across different proprietary systems.
It's all canon even though they haven't really figured it out.
Yeah.
That's like terrible. Yeah.
Just like this podcast. Everything is canon but no one can make sense of it.
So, but I mean like, I don't know. It's a good like, I mean it makes money.
It makes a lot of money. For a lot of people.
But isn't like, I guess people were talking about like the Kingdom Hearts like intro title doesn't say Kingdom Hearts 3, it says like Kingdom Hearts 2.9 or something.
Yes, it does. And that blew my mind when I saw I was watching a streamer in RT Game when he played through it and it was like Kingdom Hearts 2.9 and he was like, "What? Oh guys, Kingdom Hearts 3 isn't even out yet."
that was a good joke. I like that. That's like if they release Half-Life 3 ever, it should be called like Half-Life 2.5 or something. That'd be pretty good.
They already released that
episodes 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Was that Half-Life 2 episodes 1 and 2?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, whatever. It's... I don't know. I don't have really any desire to play Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, I want to play Kingdom Hearts 3.
I mean, I'm sure it'd be fine, but I don't know. I'm a Legend of Zelda person.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a Resident Evil person, too. So, I've played Resident Evil 4, and Resident Evil... I've played Resident Evil 4 about, like, 3 times through because it's my favorite.
It's a good one.
I haven't had a chance to play the remastered Resident Evil 2, but it looks beautiful.
It looks so good.
It looks beautiful. Do you know what game actually still looks good that I didn't realize? The only thing is that the facial capture is a little lackluster. Is the Infamous Second Son on the PS4.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was, well, because that's one of my, that was like the first like game that I really, really enjoyed that I unfortunately didn't have a chance to play because like I don't have a PS4, I'm poor. But like, yeah. I, Jacksepticeye did a full playthrough way, 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 way back.
I'll have to check
and,
that out.
I mean, even then the graphics look really good. Yeah. Like the water and everything, the background, like the only thing is like the facial capture is a little off. Like it's still, that's what ages it a bit, yeah. is the facial capture. Like if you compare it to like Detroit Become Human or something, the facial capture is a little off. But it still holds up in like quality.
All right, people. Thanks for tuning in to hopefully the first actual episode of the podcast.
Yeah, Ford, edit this on time.
I will. I will edit it.
Don't lose it.
Oh, yeah, and don't lose it.
That's the idea. All right, folks. Tune in.
My name's Kira, by the way.
My name's Ford. And that's...
And I'm Chase.
Yeah, that's Chase. All right, tune in at some point in the future.
Bye. Bye.